I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Terry Bird Tales. This is Mummy Rook Arcade Games.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan, and I am so pleased to have you here this week. I am kicking off this week with another recommendation, so I hope you've been enjoying these. My one for this week is actually a book or an audiobook in the form that I have been listening to it. And it's called Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before? And it's by Dr. Julie Smith. It's got a heap of good stuff in there. It's all about our emotions and our mindset and just the way that we experience life. It's got a lot of stuff in there about low mood and motivation and anxiety and confidence. So I just am really enjoying it so far. I'm about 3/4 of the way through it in audiobook style, but that is my recommendation for the week. If you are looking for a new book, Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before by Dr. Julie Smith. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know if you give it a listen. This week's episode is brought to you by Your Birth Project. Your Birth Project is my online hypnobirthing course designed to support you to create your best birth. And it doesn't matter if you are planning a home birth or an elective C-section like our guest is or was. It doesn't matter what kind of birth you are planning or end up having. I am supporting you to create your best birth, inclusive of all birth types, and it is hypnobirthing techniques that will help you do that. So if you do the course, I would love to know how you find it, and I would love to hear your birth story, so make sure that you send it to me. And Your Birth Project also has an online store, so if you're New Zealand or Australian based, you can pop onto the online store and find all the support that you need for pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So I hope that is super useful. In this week's episode, I am speaking with Beck, and I love Beck. I've followed her on Instagram for quite a while. She owns an organized life, so make sure you go and find her on Instagram. But this week, I'm speaking with Beck about her pregnancy and birth story, and it is a really interesting one. She's got lots of really interesting things that happen throughout her pregnancy and birth and postpartum period that we talk through. She does end up having an elective cesarean. We talk through making that decision, and she did, you know, lots of different antenatal courses, including Your Birth Project, and how she sort of landed at deciding she wanted to go with an elective cesarean, what her recovery was like, her breastfeeding journey. So we talked through it all. I hope you love the episode. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to send me an email, kiwibirthtales@gmail.com, and that's tales, T-A-L-E-S, or you can find me on Instagram at kiwibirthtales. All right, let's jump into the episode. Hey, Beck, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, so my name's Beck Wadworth, and I am the founder of An Organized Life. I'm also the creative and brand director for Makespace, my partner's business. So in our house, there is my partner, Isaac, our beautiful baby girl, Isabella, and our English Springer Spaniel, Beau.
Awesome, cool. And how old is Isabella now?
She's 3.5 months.
She's still tiny. So cute. Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And do you want to talk us through what the journey to pregnancy was like for you and Isaac?
Yeah, so my journey was quite unique, I think, for multiple reasons. For me, it was third time lucky for myself. I had 2 ectopic pregnancies before I fell pregnant with Isabella. And my partner and I, we met at the end of 2020, and we fell in love instantly, and we knew our relationship would move pretty fast. So we were just one of those couples. We were inseparable from the start. And we always talked about having a family really early on. We were both really ready. We were just waiting to meet the right person. Mm-hmm. So it moved really quick. And after the second ectopic, I just wanted to spend some time processing everything and getting my body ready again and just back into a really good mindset, into a good headspace, I thought was really important. Luckily I had a really good doctor, and they kept me really positive. They said when I was ready to try again, just to come back as soon as I thought I was pregnant, we'll do bloods and we'll do a scan. And so with my ectopic pregnancies, I had really similar symptoms both times. The first time I just got so overwhelmed, ended up, was really bad, had to have surgery. The second one, I knew straight away. I had all the same pains, negative pregnancy tests, number one at home. I had had my period for 2 weeks and then I felt like I had kind of like appendix pains and stuff like that. So second time I got onto it straight away and we caught it really early and was all okay. But obviously it's just still a bit of an overwhelming situation. So yeah, took my time with it. And then we started trying again in October and I actually fell pregnant straight away, which I think I just, I went into it in a really good headspace. You know, it was like a really fun time of life. We had like come out of COVID. We were, it was just like really great time. And I had completely different symptoms. I was nauseous. I had fatigue. I had sore boobs even before I'd done the test. So I just knew I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And then did the test and it was positive. And yeah, we were just over the moon. And then I called my doctor and went in for bloods and they confirmed everything, you know, that I was pregnant. Yeah. Anyway, then I went to do my scan, which I thought I was 6 weeks, and they could see there was something in my uterus, which was amazing, but there was also something in my right ovary, and they said I wasn't actually 6 weeks, I was more like 5 weeks, so I had to go back in 10 days to do another scan before they could confirm. And for me, I remember it so clearly because it was COVID times. We had gone, but not the super intense times, but for Auckland, it was still pretty intense and we couldn't have anyone at scans and things like that. So I was really lucky that they let me FaceTime Isaac. He was sitting in the car outside and I just felt really anxious because I thought if it was a third, some kind of third, you know, situation, it's really full on. So went back and they confirmed that I was pregnant and it all looked really good, but that I had a cyst in my right ovary and it was getting bigger. So it had grown a lot more since the first scan, but they said not to worry and that usually they disappear. And it's just because I'd had the scans quite early on. Most people don't have them till a bit later. So they said, if there is things like that, usually they disappear. So I tried not to get into my head and just kind of focused on the pregnancy. I was just, so glad that it was, you know, nothing kind of scary, and that there was a proper pregnancy in there. And then in the meantime, I had booked my first OB appointment. So I decided to go with an OB, multiple reasons. I just felt a bit nervous after the ectopic pregnancies. I wanted to have that really expert care. I was nervous with the expense. I couldn't actually even find a midwife. It was so hard. And I was on all the wait lists for the OB and everything anyway, but ended up getting in and had my first appointment and he confirmed the cyst in my ovary had actually got to 9 by 9 centimeters. So it was the size of a tennis ball. And so I think I was 8 weeks then. And I had actually popped, like my tummy had popped. So it looked like I was about 16 weeks. And he said to me that I had two choices. Basically either keep it in, it can get the size of a rugby ball. And he said, usually it like your ovary ends up out near your rib cage. So he said I'd have this other bulge there. But he said it can be completely fine and people, you know, you'd have to have a C-section, but people would it's, you know, it's completely okay. Or I get it surgery and get it removed, but you can only do that between 14 and 16 weeks. So this was right before Christmas. So he said, go away, have a think. He said the one thing is if you do keep it in and it you do have a small chance that it could twist. And if it does, it's really painful and they can only operate down your tummy, not across, after a certain, you know, time frame. So I went away and had Christmas and things like that with my family and really thought about it all. I remember calling just before Christmas. I had all these questions. So I called the obstetrician's receptionist and left all these questions. And he was just amazing, called him, being me, being really organized. So I had this whole list of questions. And then he called me back that night and was just so helpful. And from that day on, I was just so happy I had him, you know, as part of my journey. I felt like just made me feel so much more at ease. Yeah, so I'm so glad that I had him. And then I decided after Christmas to get the surgery. So I went to have one more scan and then to meet the surgeon. And when I went to the scan, it had actually halved in size, which he said he's never, ever seen, ever. He said after a certain week, I can't remember what week it was, there's no chance that it would decrease, it would only increase. And then for some reason it decided to decrease. And so I didn't have to have the surgery. So I started off the pregnancy journey quite in an intense way, I would say. Mm. Like it wasn't straightforward. But it ended up that, you know, after that it was amazing. So that's how kind of the start of my journey started.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And I guess with the ectopic pregnancies, just for anybody who maybe hasn't heard of that before or, yeah, doesn't sort of know what that is there, like, do you want to sort of explain what they did to find out that it was ectopic and, then what the sort of implications were and how it had to be removed or what happened from there?
Yeah. So with the ectopic, it basically gets stuck usually in the tube, as far as I'm aware. So mine were both on the left side. So it's hard to tell after an ectopic. I think nowadays, a lot of the time, they probably do remove the tube, but sometimes they don't. And then it's quite hard to tell what the damage is. So obviously, the more you have, the higher the risk goes up. And because mine were both on the left side. So as I said, the symptoms for me, I didn't realize, but I had a cycle and my bleeding was for a long period of time. It was like 12 to 14 days. I had those pains. And what was the other thing I said? I've already got brain fog already. There were a few things in there. On negative pregnancy tests, that's right. Because I thought, like, I did have kind of funny pains. My period was late. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm pregnant, but all my tests were coming back negative. And then that went into the bleeding. And I thought, oh, no, I've got my period, it's fine. And then I got pains. And then from there, that's when it can kind of escalate. So if you get it really early on, they kind of have to, you have to kind of ask for blood tests. I knew, and I went to my doctor and, you know, they said, oh, we don't think you are, but we'll do the bloods in case. And because I got it so early on, I was. So if you get it early on, mine actually happened quite naturally and it filtered through on its own. I didn't have to get anything done, but you do have to get surgeries and things like that if it doesn't do that, which I did with the first one. So it's just keyhole surgery. But that's just another whole, you know, scenario to go through. Really good thing to know about, because I think obviously naturally once you have that bleeding, you naturally think it's your period, and sometimes it's not. So it's a good thing to kind of keep in the back of your mind if you are trying. And it felt like appendix pain. So I thought I had appendicitis or something like that. And it was on the left side quite severely. So that's kind of where that came through. So but I was grateful that the right side was still okay. So my OB said my left side's obviously pretty damaged. So he said, it's a bit of a bummer. I didn't have the tube taken out, that now looking back on it. But it's okay. We just kind of have to focus on the right side and hope that's okay for next time.
Awesome. Yeah. And so deciding to go with OB care, did you do all of the sort of standard testing that was offered to you? And what did that look like?
So I did everything they suggested. I found the process really good. I'm all about a methodical process, being myself and being organized. So I really loved it. I felt like it was a really, streamlined process. I found their care really incredible. There were just, after the first catch-up, you just have little small catch-ups. I did all the tests that they recommended, and I also did obviously more scans at the start with everything going on. But then I did the blood test as well to find out the gender and all this, all the extra bits and pieces like that. So I did everything and anything. I don't think there was anything I didn't do. Yes, but for me, it was just peace of mind, which is something that helped me on my journey.
Yeah, awesome. And did you feel much different across your three trimesters? Did you have many symptoms that sort of played out in the first? And then, what did the rest of your pregnancy look like?
Yeah, I think first trimester, it's a tricky one. I actually found that so much harder than, I'd been listening to your podcast. I heard all these stories and I found it's so life-changing. You see that positive mark on your test and then suddenly your whole life changes in an instant. And I found it all-consuming. I felt, and also you're not telling anyone. So it's you're all in your head just with you and your partner. And I wasn't really prepared for how much of an overwhelming, feeling I would get from that. I obviously felt really nauseous. I kind of had all those stock standard symptoms in my first trimester. I had the nausea, really severe fatigue. I had sore boobs. my bladder became weak already. What else did I have? I had actually one of the weird symptoms was I had quite bad rosacea straight away and pregnancy, hormonal acne, which just got worse and worse and worse over my pregnancy, which obviously it was fine. I just covered it up with tinted moisturizer and, got on my way. But, that was quite a unique one that I didn't know a lot about, but, now I just had to strip back all my skincare and it's kind of started to slowly go back to normal post-birth. Yeah. And then I also got round ligament pains at the end of my first trimester as my bump kind of started to come through. And I got a support belt for that. And then second trimester, I absolutely loved. I felt like my nausea and fatigue and everything kind of started to subside end of first trimester. I ended up getting anti-nausea tablets at week 8. And then that kind of subsided at maybe week 11 or 12. And then, love second trimester. I just got all my energy back, which everyone had said, quite commonly that happens. I really focused on work in second trimester. Running my own business, I really wanted to get as far ahead as I possibly could so that I could have some time off and not feel stressed. So I really focused on getting as much work done as I could. I did really late nights, which obviously isn't ideal, but for me it was worth it when I had those energy levels at an all-time high. I feel like all the bad things, like the good, it just is so much better when you start to feel those flutters and the kicks and everything. And I remember feeling that around 16 weeks and then just feeling like I absolutely loved from then on because it felt so much more real. Yeah. And then I just loved the journey from then on. So second trimester, it was great. We did the Kinder app where you pick the name. So we picked the name at about 16 weeks. Isabella was the one name we both landed on. And then we landed on all the nicknames like Bella, Belle, Izzy. Those were all in our kind of joint names that we selected. So that was fun. And then coming into the end of the second trimester and entering the third, I guess that's when more symptoms popped up and you get more aches and pains and things like that. Isabella also went breech at about 24 weeks, which was still okay. I wasn't too concerned, but obviously you get the kicks and things in different places and a bit more aches and pains in different places and things like that. And it also made my bladder really weak. Which was one of the worst symptoms of pregnancy. Because I already felt like I had a semi-weak bladder, but this was next level. I felt it made me not want to leave the house sometimes because it's just all, it makes you quite self-conscious. You can't do anything. I went to a physio. I did the Unity Studios, which I loved for the 20-week Warrior of Fitness that they call it, and went to them from then on and, was doing all the exercises. But found that really hard, and it gave me a lot of anxiety around having a vaginal birth, just thinking that if this is what my bladder is like now, I was really nervous about the future. And so that was something I kind of, had in the back of my mind for quite a while. And then what else happened? Week 30, I flew to Sydney to see my team. I did two Sydney trips in my pregnancy. My team for An Organized Life is Sydney based. So post-COVID, I really wanted to see them. And I absolutely loved it. I came back and my cup was so full. Mm. And then all of a sudden at week 31, I felt like I had been punched in the vagina. or it's the one thing I said to friends was, it's that feeling when you're young and you fall off your bike and you hit the car.
Yeah.
It felt exactly like that. You kind of like have a bruised pubic bone. Mm. And I had a physio appointment and I mentioned it to her, not even thinking anything. You're chatting away, and she said, do you mind if I examine you and you know, see what's going on? And I, you know, that was all fine. And she actually said that I had a varicose vein in my vulva, which I had never heard of. And then started googling and all sorts, and she said one of the things that could have triggered it was the flying, because I flew to Sydney just with the altitude and everything. She said if it was kind of there, then that, you know, can make it worse. And I found that really hard. I really struggled kind of going on walks and things like that. But she suggested compression shorts and kind of icing when it was really bad, and just being quite conscious of when it flares up and is the most painful, and taking it easy when it is like that. Mm. But such a strange symptom of pregnancy that I'm just not aware of. If everything, you know, everything else is tricky enough sometimes, to add those types of things in it's a whole nother thing.
It's funny. I think you saw I got a message about that like last week, and people just don't talk about it, right? Because if you've never had like a close friend or someone talk about it, it's not something that you just go and tell somebody that you've got. And then all of a sudden you get it and you're pregnant and you're like, holy shit, what is that? That pain. Because I think we just don't talk about it.
And I wouldn't have thought the pain that it was. It felt more like my pubic bone, but it wasn't. Mm. It was, which is the most bizarre thing, because and I found googling this. I mean, Google is your best friend and worst friend with pregnancy, I feel. Yeah. But it was hard to know exactly. So I'm so glad that I did, you know, talk to the physio, talk to my OB, and kind of understood what it was and how I could work on that. But the thing with that is you can't do anything until post-pregnancy. It usually goes away within the first 6 weeks naturally. And so you just have to live with it, you know, with that. I kind of got used to it. I think you just get used to the aches and pains after a while and learn to live with it a bit. But that was an interesting one for my third trimester.
Yeah, the joys of pregnancy, right?
So that was kind of the main stuff with that. I think obviously with the third trimester, with having that and with my bladder being so weak, I started to really favor going for a C-section ideally. For me personally, I tried to stay really open-minded, but just the way that my brain works, for me there was just so many variations of the vaginal birth, and I had my OB put it into really good context, and he said, you know, the dream birth is to have a vaginal birth and a really good recovery. The worst birth is a bad vaginal birth and really bad recovery, and the medium is a C-section. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can, there's good and bad variations, but I remember talking to him, and, you know, he was asking me how I was feeling, and I said to him, I am so scared to have a vaginal birth. And I said, I know that it sounds ridiculous because it's so natural and women do it every single day. And I think it's amazing. But for me personally, with how weak my bladder was, the vein in my vulva, just my general anxiety around it, I said to him, I don't feel in control, and it's really stressing me out, and it's just my personality type, but it was causing me a lot of, you know, sleepless nights. I was just thinking of all these different scenarios. I was trying to prep for them all, and there's just, you can't, it's just out of your control. And he was really good and said, you know, let's see how you feel when we do your birth plan. I did antenatal, I learned everything and everything, everything and anything, tried to be really open-minded. And then, when we got to that 36 weeks, he was like, how are you feeling? And I was like, I've got to have a C-section. There's no way. I can't do it. I'm so scared. And I know that I would be strong enough to do it. It was the after. I was really, really stressed about a lifetime of a week, you know, a weak bladder, having to wear pads every single day and things like that. And it was that was stressing me out. I know I could do it. I know that mm-hmm. women are amazing. But yeah, for me, I knew I just had to do the C-section. Yeah. And it was much more methodical and something I could prep for mentally mm-hmm. as well as physically. So yeah, which I felt so much better once I had yeah. kind of, you know, come to that conclusion mm-hmm. And realized that was what my journey was going to be.
And so when you were planning I guess the C-section and what that would look like for you, do you want to talk us through the lead up to that? And did your OB give you a date? And what were your plans around your birth?
Yeah, so I'm one of those people, I had all the gear and no idea. And I remember doing a big order from your store, and I did, you know, things. I talked to all my friends and said, what do I need? You know, I need to know all the information because there's a high chance I could have a vaginal birth. You know, I can't guarantee mm-hmm. I'm going to have a C-section. So I wanted to have everything for both. So I did a lot of prep. I did your birth project, like your antenatal. I did the practical parenting antenatal, which was a 1-day session. They do pre-birth, birth and post-birth, mm-hmm. which made me feel a lot better about if I did have to have a vaginal, at least I was really informed of what that would look like. Mm. And then I did a lot of research with kind of like you listen to all your episodes. Dr. Golly, I loved in Australia, the Tiny Hearts Education, and Dr. Morgan Edwards, which for me, that was really good prep work. I found I am one of those people where information is key for me, and I need to be informed. Yeah. And then in terms of prepping for the C-section, mine was quite hard because obviously the reasons why Isabella wasn't breech anymore, but I did have absolutely valid reasons why I wanted the C-section, but they obviously being in COVID times, their staff, you know, staffing and everything is really hectic. Mm. And so I knew that I was going to be at the bottom of the line to get into a C-section spot, which I, you know, completely understood. So I had to play the waiting game and just be really patient. I did everything and anything not to bring on labor. I looked at all the lists on how to bring on labor and didn't do any of them because I really wanted to have that C-section experience ideally. So I didn't actually get my date. You get it a week before, and I was the last person, from the C-section list at my obstetrician's clinic. So I ended up having my C-section at 39 weeks and 5 days. So I was just 2 days off my due date, which was good. I just obviously had to be cautious. And the closer I got to my due date, the more realistic I was that, you know, I could go into labor and what that looked like. But prepping for it, I talked to a lot of friends. A lot of friends had emergency C-sections and planned C-sections. And so I asked them, you know, what they needed, what the procedure looked like. I was taught me through the whole thing so that I know, you know, I know. And same with my OB. I would go into our appointments with my notes on my phone, and he would just laugh at me and say, okay, read me through your list and I'll give you the answers. Yeah. But I'm so glad I did that because it just made me feel so much better going into that. Mm-hmm. I also prepped my bag with all of your goodies and all the kind of essentials for a vaginal birth and a C-section birth. I snap-lock bagged them all with little labels in my suitcase. So I had a mini suitcase, don't worry, not a big suitcase. And I just wanted my partner to feel okay and comfortable and confident if he did need to get something for me post-birth and things, that he could kind of understand what everything is. So yeah, did a lot of that kind of prep, did a snack box, all of that type of thing. I actually took fresh fruit, and then one of my followers, bless their soul, they did such great suggestions. And one of them was to take a roll of loo paper. And I thought at the time, I was like, that is so random. And, you know, but okay, I'll put it in. And then it was actually the best decision I ever did, because it just, you know, felt like a little bit of comfort and quite, you know, what can be a really, is a hectic time, but it is a really sterile environment and things. And just those little things I wanted to prep to have. So my other key one was a speaker, because we listen to music all day, every day. And I knew that that would just make me feel a bit more relaxed and remind me of home and things like that. So, yeah, just packed all the essentials and, kind of read over all the information booklets that they gave me and just, kind of got clued up really. And you can only control the controllables, really.
Indeed. So do you want to talk us through, what happened on the day and into your birth experience?
Yeah, so I absolutely loved my birth and the day. And I am such an advocate. I think that C-sections can, especially I think older generations, you know, my parents' generation and things, they can make you feel quite scared about it all. And I just thought it was the most amazing thing. And I just want people to know, you know, I know everyone's experience is different, but if that is the avenue you have to go down, you can have a really positive birth and a positive story. And I think I am so for it, and I absolutely loved my day. I think it was kind of really methodical, which I loved, obviously, because mine was not an emergency, which I know can be a whole different situation. I've had so many friends go through, but for me, it was very methodical. I was in there at 7:00. We had to have our COVID test. We had to do all that. It was on a Monday. I loved the start of the week. So it was perfect for me. At around 8:45, we started the C-section, and then she was born within like 15 minutes. But it was quite a crazy experience. I didn't even feel the start or anything like that. I remember chatting away to the anaesthetist, asking where we could get coffee afterwards. And then I said to her, you know, have they started yet? And she was like, yep, you're about 5 minutes in. And I just could not believe that, you know,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, it was crazy. And just an amazing team, like the staffing and things are just incredible, and how they make you feel, talking, you know, telling you what you want to hear. And I would just ask questions and things like that. And they would tell me what was happening. I remember feeling really shaky, which they told me was a key thing, just with everything that's in your body. And I was uncontrollably shaking, and Isaac said the same. He said, I just remember you shaking so much, but I felt fine. I just knew it was one of the symptoms. And I also remember feeling the weight on kind of my chest. They say it's like your chest, and pulling and tugging and things. And then I remember when he was pulling her out, he actually said, he was like, she is so slippery, I cannot get her. And so he actually had to clamp her head, which is quite different, but she just had a small clamp mark, and he said he just couldn't like grasp her. She was just too slippery. And he got her out, and we asked the nurse to take a photo, but I didn't want to see anything. Anyway, she got everything. But it was the most amazing sequence of photos. There's about 20 of her coming out, and I'm so grateful I have them now. But at the time, it was, you know, I didn't really want to see too much. And then we did skin to skin straight away. I remember she held my little, like my finger, and I just remember feeling so overwhelmed, and like, it was the most amazing feeling. And asking, you know, I was like, is she okay? Is she breathing? Like, you know, it's quite crazy, and just that whole experience. And then, they actually pre-warned me, but my OB checked my tubes and ovaries at the same time as the surgery, because it saved me another surgery, but just to see how everything was and if the cyst was still there. And he actually pre-told me that when he does that, that can actually be the most uncomfortable of the whole procedure. And he said you can feel like really, really heavy in your chest, like someone's just pushing down on you, and you can get some other aches and pains. And I got it straight away. I remember I said to the lady, who was with me. I said, I think I'm going to be sick. And I said, I'm so sorry, but you might need to take her. And so they took her and they got me a little bucket and things. And I wasn't sick, but I just got this overwhelming sense that I needed to be sick. And he said to me, that's because he was like looking, you know, scraping everything and looking at everything. And so it was quite amazing that that was the part that I felt the most. And then after that, everything went well, with the rest of the procedure. It's done so quickly. And my OB takes a lot of care, with, you know, he, sews your abdominals up to your tummy button and things like that. So all the separation and things, and it's just crazy what they do now these days to help you postpartum, which I'm just so grateful for. And I think I did have that good experience because it was planned. You know, I know that it's not always the case with emergencies and things like that. So I feel really grateful for that. And I think that helped with my recovery and things too. And then, yeah, after that, everything's a bit of a blur between that and going to the recovery room. I don't remember a lot there. I remember them putting her on and trying to find how to latch. And I just remember thinking it wasn't right. I remember feeling it quite painful, and thinking that was kind of my priority, was to sort that out, because I know from, you know, friends and family that that's just so important. And so, yeah, after that, we went to our room at the hospital and settled in, had my speaker, which just made me feel so much more at home, and all our snacks, they were laughing at us with like our fruit bowl. But honestly, it just came in. It was so handy having all those snacks and just some fresh fruit and things like that, that the staff are just so, you know, they're very understaffed and it's really hard for them. So it just made it a wee bit easier not having to ask them for bits and pieces, and to just, you know, do our own thing a little bit, which was nice.
And for your C-section, if we just jump back a tiny bit, so did you ask for like immediate skin to skin and all that sort of stuff, or was that just something that they did?
Yes, so they said when I kind of did my birth plan and things, and they also went over that on the day, they said, you know, did I want to do skin to skin straight away and things like that, and that was absolutely what I wanted to do. And so, yeah, they were really good. I found that that kind of, you know, it's a bit overwhelming when it's your first baby. You're not too sure what you are and aren't meant to do. And so I found them really informative, and, yeah, I did everything that they kind of suggested, and felt really comfortable with everything, which was good.
Awesome. And do you remember, like, because I've had one C-section, and I just remember like the feeling of when you first stand up after you've had a C-section and they want you to shower and all that sort of stuff. So do you want to talk us through what that sort of like initial period after your surgery was like?
Yeah. So one thing on that that I just had not really thought about, you know, you obviously think about it, but I love to know details. And so the night before my C-section, I YouTubed the first 24 hours of a C-section. It's so random, but there's so many good videos, and it was so visual, not gory, like nothing to do with the actual birth, but the postpartum, like that first kind of 24 hours, what to expect. And I'm so glad I watched it, because just little random things that you just never think of in terms of that experience, I found really helpful. But yeah, I was the same. So luckily my surgery was in the morning. So I had that whole day just to, you know, rest and look after myself. And I did actually feel tired, even though I, you know, obviously had a good sleep and things, but I did feel tired. It was really nice for Isaac and I just to have that moment together. And then that night we had Isaac's parents were here from Bay of Islands, so they came to visit, and also his best friend was here from the UK, so he also came to visit. So by the time they left, it was about 8:30 p.m. And so I remember feeling a bit out of it, but I felt good. I felt really calm. I didn't feel too overwhelmed. I mean, obviously I was on morphine, so it was you know, that makes you feel better. But after that, the nurse came in and asked if I was ready to get up. And one of the things, I don't know if you were the same with the C-section, I vividly remember I thought my legs were straight, so I thought I was lying straight. And then I remember one of the nurses obviously was checking how much my leg was moving, and she lifted the sheet, and I saw a knee out the side, and I was like, what the heck? And I said to Isaac, my legs are straight, right? And I said, that's not my knee. And he was like, no, that's your knee. And I was in a frog. I was in a frog position. And it was the most bizarre feeling because you have absolutely no feeling. Your legs feel so heavy. And I just honestly thought my legs were straight and I got so overwhelmed by it. But then slowly I remember my toes moving and then my knees and everything kind of started to move. And by 8:30, I felt ready to get up and you know, go to the, see if I was okay to walk and then get the catheter and go to the bathroom and things. And it all went really smoothly. I really took a time, but I was lucky that I felt really good. I remember feeling like it was a really weird sensation with your legs trying to move them and kind of you feel a bit like a little deer, you know, trying to walk for the first time. It's quite a bizarre feeling. But yeah, it went smoothly and then that night, I had the first night and things, which for me, the first night, they always talked about the second night, but the first night was the night for me. And so I think I got 1 hour sleep. She just wanted to be on me and feeding. Mm. And I got Isaac to sleep that night so that I knew I was prepping for the second night. So I thought, you know, hopefully he can, you know, he'll be able to help that second night. Mm. But the first night was just, yeah, so intense. She just kept crying. And so I actually ended up getting up and down a lot, which looking back, I probably shouldn't have, but I felt really good at the time. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, that I just spent the whole night with her and feeding and then putting her back to sleep. And then, yeah, I got absolutely no sleep. And then the next day I felt quite exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so that day I remember feeling like I just needed to sleep a bit more and kind of get my energy back. But they came in on the morning day two, and because I had been getting up and down all night and because the hospital was so busy, they said I needed to move to birth care because I was able and walking, which I understood. So they took me off morphine at about 10 o'clock in the morning and said to get ready and they would move me early afternoon. And that was all fine. And I napped quite a lot because I was so tired, but I remember waking up at about 1 from on and off sleeping, and I was just in such pain, like huge amounts of pain. And they came in and they realized they hadn't given me any pain relief since I had come off morphine. And it was a miscommunication because they were so run off their feet. And I think I have a higher pain threshold and it just came on all of a sudden. So they were so apologetic and just checked on me every half an hour and topped me up with other medication basically until my pain threshold, you know, the pain had come to a lower threshold. And so I wasn't actually able to move to birth care until about 4 p.m. that day, which was fine. So that was day two. And then it felt like checking into a hotel. It was fun. I really enjoyed birth care and I was still finding I knew my latch wasn't right and the hospital staff were so run off their feet. I felt a bit, you know, I didn't want to trouble them too much and I thought I'll wait till I get to birth care and just sort it out. And they were amazing. As soon as I got there, they one of my nipples was bleeding. And so they just helped me straight away with the latch and really focused on that, which I found so helpful. With the journey as well, I just didn't want that to get worse. And it's trickier than you would think.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
I did not expect the breastfeeding journey to be such a whirlwind that it is, yeah, for that first few weeks.
So
after day two birth care, we stayed at birth care that night and then I went home the next morning. I was feeling really good. Was walking around, felt really good, was just a little bit slow but doing everything on my own, which is also another positive I think from a C-section. I think a lot of people think which obviously every single C-section is different, but for me I was up and moving and felt really good. Day two was, so went home day three morning. Which was nice. And then day three, my mum came from Marlborough. I remember must have been coming off the medication a bit more and I remember vividly getting such bad pains all down my back. To the point where I needed to be sick, and rang my midwife and she said it was to do with coming off all the medication and the anesthetic and things, or the what's it called when it goes in your back?
Epidural.
Epidural, yeah. And she said it can sometimes be that a few days later. And I was really sick, vomiting, and then I only, you know, like a really big amount straight away. And then I felt so much relief, and it was just, I felt so much better after that.
Yeah.
But it came on really strong, and I wasn't prepared for that. And felt a wee bit scared that I had left birth care at that moment because I was home, and thought maybe I should have stayed for another night and had that support. But luckily it felt okay after that, you know, initial period, and then yeah, just focused on settling in at home and trying to, yeah, it's quite a whirlwind, but I was in such a newborn bubble, yeah, which I loved. So I absolutely loved getting home and setting up with our little family and, you know, entering that new chapter.
Yeah, amazing. And did you notice like any of the baby blues, or yeah, could you feel like, you know, you'd have these crazy hormonal shifts throughout those first few weeks and months, but how did you find that?
Yeah, so I remember my friend who was pregnant, she said to me, I must have been like 10 days into having Isabella, and she was like, have you just been crying all the time? And I'm quite an emotional person, and I was like, oh, I actually haven't cried once. And I said, that is bizarre, because I thought I'd be crying every day from the hormones and things. And I said, it's got to be coming, like it's surely, you know, something's happening. But I was in just this like amazing I just loved it. She was so good. I felt it was just meant to be. It was just everything, you know, they do say it kind of comes naturally, but I just loved the whole experience. And so the first 2 weeks I was in pure bliss, and I was working, like she would I was like, this is great. She'll sleep. I was getting like 5 hours of work done a day. It was ridiculous. And I thought, oh, I can do this. This is all working out. And then I think it was like exactly two weeks, and then just she woke up, and then and then that's when I was crying. You know, I felt so overwhelmed. I thought, I don't know if I'm doing things right. I don't know what to do. Google was not my best friend then. There was just too many answers. I found it really overwhelming. I think, you know, when all your families left, both of our families are not based in Auckland. It's pretty, and it's, you know, yeah, it's overwhelming. It's a whole new thing. And I think the reality hit of like, this is my new life. Like this is my future. There's no, you know, it's just changed from here on out. Obviously for the best, but it's an overwhelming time for sure. So actually at that time I think it was closer to 3 weeks, I think I tried to kind of power through for a week, just really focus on myself. Isaac was an amazing support, and a lot of our friends, well, everyone has kids basically, but a lot of us actually all had babies around the similar time. So I was really fortunate. I was the last of our friend group to have a baby, so I leaned on them a lot, which was nice, and had a really good support network. But I also then realized I am the kind of person, I just want all the knowledge from one place. And I think that's why I loved the OB experience and things like that. And so I got Hattie from a sister mama to come over. She has an amazing service. She's a newborn specialist, and she comes for 3 hours and just sits with you and experiences your baby and you, and she's really focused on both the mother and the baby. And she honestly is like a sister in the way that she nurtures and just gives you that confidence. And she has really amazing tips and advice for things that you are struggling with. So yeah, I just absolutely loved seeing her. It changed my world and was the best money I spent, definitely postpartum. And found her advice and guidance really, really good. And so, yeah, from 3 weeks, I felt a lot more confident after that, and just kind of, I'd learned to surrender. I think the thing was, I can't control everything. And, you know, that once I learned to surrender, I kind of had to forget about work, to be honest. I couldn't, I just wanted to focus on her. And that was when I loved it even more, because I just focused solely on her for a few weeks, and loved that. And then so I've actually had Hattie at the 8-week mark as well. Isabella seems to kind of go through those developments or phases, as they say, a week or two early. And so every time she's kind of, you know, shit's hit the fan again, I've got Hetty in. So I got her 3 weeks, 8 weeks, and then I was trying to prep for the 4 month regression, and kind of, I just love having information, so I'm prepared. Recently I rang Hetty and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but she's just, her sleep's gone absolutely sideways. And she said, I hate to say it, but you're in the thick of the fourth month, the regression now. And she's just been the most amazing support with everything and anything to do with that newborn phase, because it is a wave, and there's amazing, there's the best of the best, and then there's the hardest of the hardest. So yeah. It's been nice to have someone for that guidance and support that just knows all the answers or can help you navigate it.
Yes, such a good idea. I wish we could replicate her times a million, right?
Because, I know. So good. And so I've got vouchers for her, because I just think it's the best present now for friends. That it's just, I think that 3 week mark, you've got your groove a little bit more. You understand your baby a bit more. You've probably gone through some great things and some really, really hard things, no matter what, you know, mine was great at the start and then bad, and people were vice versa. So I think it's a great time to kind of get that experience and go from there.
Yeah. And with your business, like you sort of said, you took the first couple of weeks, you were still working. Were you set up to not be working? Like, how did that look for you?
Yeah, so I think I was set up to not be, I always knew I was going to be doing about 15% of my workload. Yeah. So I always knew that was going to be tough, because I think being a founder of your own business, well, for me, I definitely can't step away 100%. And I tried to let go of everything I could. I leaned on a lot of friends who had businesses prior, and they were really brutal and basically said, look, you can't do, you know, I told them what I thought I was going to be doing, and they said, I hate to say it, but you're not going to be able to do that. So you need to prep and hand off as much as you can. So I handed off 15%, all of it apart from 15% roughly. I actually ended up having to go back to work full time from, I think she was 6 weeks, which has been the hardest bit of my postpartum journey for sure. I found that a real struggle with, you know, I just want to be a mum. And I never thought I would have an identity crisis and an identity shift. I always thought I would have that perfect balance with motherhood and running a business, but she is just my sole priority. Mm. And so it's a focus of mine now just to change up how that work structure looks for 2023. Mm. I've just got to kind of run with it now for the rest of the year. But, you know, obviously daycare and things like that. It's been really tough. I take my hat off to all those working mums. It's hard. They're such beautiful little babies, and you want to spend all that time with them and soak that up. It goes so fast.
So fast. And it's so hard, right? Like that identity sort of shift that you can't explain, because I think before you, like even when you're pregnant, you can still like pour yourself into your work, and it's such a big part of your identity and who you are, like deep within, and then all of a sudden you have this baby, and sometimes it's like, actually nothing else really matters to me apart from this little human that I've created. And I think it's such a shift. It's like I can relate.
It's a huge shift, and I think I've been kind to myself. I told myself I have such a great support network of new mums and friends, and we go for walks, and you know, I've started swimming lessons with her. She's 3 months and can't do a thing but she loves it. I don't want to sacrifice any of that for my work. I actually get a second kind of wave at night, and then I work in her naps, and then anything when she's awake I do not work. There's no work happening, because I just want to spend all that time with her. If I can't get something done, it's fine. I'm like, it's not the end of the world. I can move it. And I've just learned that I have to change the priorities and change how that kind of workflow is. You can do it. It's just a shift, like you say.
And what about your physical recovery from your C-section? How have you found that?
I actually felt really good. I felt really good. I took it really easy. I got back into kind of walking 1 week after I did 10 minutes, And then their kind of suggestion usually is you add on another 10 each week. So by 6 weeks, if you're feeling good, you can walk an hour, which I felt fine. So I couldn't believe it. I felt back to normal after, you know, like 5 days to a week. Yeah. I could not believe how quick the recovery is. I remember my mum coming at day three, and I was, you know, if we had all our family coming, and I was walking around the house, like doing the cleaning. I didn't vacuum, it was the one thing. I didn't bend down or do anything like that. But I felt really good, and I went off painkillers and things within 4 days, which I didn't think that was, I thought I'd be on painkillers for a while, but I felt it was amazing. I just definitely took it easy, but I was really surprised at how quick the body can recover from something like that in terms of, So like I say, everyone's very different, and I'm, you know, I feel very fortunate, and I think, it was a really good recovery from what I was hoping, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. And how have you and Isaac sort of like adjusted? And, you know, it's obviously such a huge shift in a relationship, adding a little baby to your family. So how have you found that?
We have loved being parents. I don't think we have ever been happier. He is such a great dad. And he was, when we were trying, I knew that we both had the conversation that if we did decide to try, when we did, that we knew he just started his business. It's only been going for a year, modular housing, and he had all these jobs booked in. So we've got all these deliveries of houses and batches and things like that, basically from now for the next kind of 6 months is it's a huge delivery time. Yeah. So he's been traveling for work since quite early on. So I've had to navigate, you know, doing nights and things on my own. I try to only do a couple, like three max at a time, but it's still scary. And I just have to get prepped, you know, I get meals and all of that, you know, ready. Yeah. So I don't have to cook and just make my life a little bit easier. But we have loved it. And I think for us, it's brought us even closer together. It is the one thing I would say, I wish the men could feel our hormone shifts and things like that, because it's so hard to explain. And I do feel it must be hard for them as well, because some days you do just feel naturally more down, and some days, you know, and you know, I've said this to so many people, and I feel like you will know this and every mum will know this, but you just don't feel yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially those first 3 months, I feel like I'm just kind of coming through the other side. And you have brain fog, and you just, it's an overwhelming sensation, and it is the identity shift. And it is so nice to have a partner who will just let you talk. And they might not be able to offer a lot, you know, a lot of advice as such. They can't fix the issue, but just to have their support that they can listen to you. And, you know, there's tears and there's happy moments and there's everything in between. But I do think you come through the other side. And I always said to myself, the first 12 weeks, everyone says are the hardest, and I'm such a week by week person. I said it's just 12 Mondays, like just tick off, like as soon as you get to another Monday, you've ticked another one off, and it's just 12 Mondays. And so I do really think it, having that kind of that mindset helped me get through a lot. And we've never been stronger, really, but it is overwhelming for sure.
Cool, awesome. And just before we close, how has your breastfeeding journey gone since birth care and sort of getting that latch, sort of what does that look like
for you? So I got mastitis in week one.
I hate mastitis. Hate it.
Gosh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so I got mastitis week one, which was not ideal. I had Isabella on the Monday, and I knew I was getting it on the Saturday. We had had all of our family down from all over New Zealand to meet Isabella. And I remember thinking I was really sore and inside my boob though. And a friend had just had mastitis, and I rang her straight away as soon as everyone left and said, can you remind me of what your symptoms were? And I had all of them. I had like the hot flushes, you know, really cold. I had this throbbing boob. It was awful. And luckily my OB had actually given me a thing of antibiotics when I left birth care, because he said, look, there's a high chance something's going to, you know, could happen. And he said, just keep it with you. And then if you need it, you've got it. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful because I called my midwife straight away and told her the symptoms. And she said, yep, you've got mastitis. And because it was a Saturday too, just navigating how to get antibiotics, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the easiest sometimes on a weekend with getting appointments yeah. and stuff. I was so grateful that I had yeah. it and could just take it straight away. So that was the worst. And then the nipples obviously were very sore for a while. I used the Silverettes at the start, and then I started to favor more the gel pads. So after that, I got on a flow and I started to really enjoy it. The one thing I found the hardest was pumping it, you know, to be able to give myself a bit of freedom mm-hmm. with work and appointments and things. And we introduced the bottle quite early at two or three weeks maybe for Isaac to do the night feed and to have that bonding, which he's loved, and he does bath time as well and just loves that, coming home mm-hmm. from work and being able to do that and have their time. But I found it really stressful pumping, and also mm-hmm. I was tired at night, and I decided at 2 months that I was going to start mixed feeding, which I'm so glad I did. I think mm-hmm. for my mindset and my mental health and everything, it's just been a game changer. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, you know, now when we're recording, usually I would have to feed, and Isaac's just able to give her a formula feed. Yeah. So I do a lunch formula feed just before she goes down, and then a night feed we do formula feed as well. And then I'll just slowly increase that as I need. But it's just given us so much more freedom. Yeah. And, yeah, I feel like it's a bit of a taboo subject, especially in New Zealand. I think all my friends in Aussie mixed fed, a lot of them from day one, and around that kind of 2 month mark or 3 month mark, and chatting to them just made me feel so much more confident and comfortable, because yeah, I think you just have to do what you have to do at the end of the day. and it's worked. She's loved it. She's been healthy, and she's a little chubber.
Yeah.
Got all the rolls. So
yeah.
She's fine, and as long as you know you've got a happy, healthy baby, it's fine.
Yeah, I can relate with the mixed feeding. I think that both my kids have been mixed fed and then fully formula fed from pretty young ages. But I just think like the pumping, and some people just do it, right? Like it's not a thing for me. I was just like, I look at that pump and I just want to fucking throw it against the wall. I hate it. Yeah. I do not want to use it.
I did it for the first 2 months, like I said, every night. And man, it's just, I felt, and also you with your relationship too. Mm. I didn't love sitting there when you're, you know, and you've already had this baby and pregnant, and there's all these things with your body, and then you feel like a cow, like just sitting there with, you know, watching TV, trying to have like this nice moment with your partner. And then, for me, I was the same as you. It had to go early. So I think that's completely fine.
For sure. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bec, for coming on the podcast. I've really loved talking to you, and I know there'll be lots of others out there who really enjoy your story, so I appreciate your time.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you loved it, and I hope you tune in next week for another awesome birth story. A reminder that this week's episode was brought to you by Your Birth Project, the online hypnobirthing course you need to create your best birth. So many exciting things coming from Your Birth Project soon, so make sure you're following along at Your Birth Project on Instagram. All right, I will talk to you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.